We are in 1 Kings chapter number 18. It goes without saying, and I'm sure we understand and believe it, but that we do know this: God is real. And there are those who are critics. There are those who doubt him. Not only is God real, God does act in our world. By the way, God is the creator. It's the epitome of foolishness to believe, to me, in evolution, that something was created out of thin air. Okay. By the way, a creation is proof of a creator. You understand that? They call the a watch doesn't make itself. There wasn't an explosion in some type of factory, and all of a sudden a watch appeared. And yet we want to think that the human body, the most complicated thing ever, happened on accident. No, we are here because there is a God and he is real. We are God's special creation. Because of that, we know that he loves us. We know that he wants to be a part of our life, and we know that he will work in our life. We believe and serve a God, the only God, by the way, there is no other God, who works in our lives and is powerful enough to fulfill his will in our lives if we will only let him. Some believe that there is a God, but that he is not interested in what goes on in our everyday life or what is going on around us. He's kind of just separated from us in a sense. But that is not true. God loves us, and he created us for a purpose. We're going to meet a man today that believed in that God and believed that God was powerful enough to do something about what was going on around him and to fulfill his will in his life. That man is Elijah. At this time, Ahab is the king. Ahab was a very bad and a very wicked king. He was pushed forward in his evil by his wicked wife, Jezebel. In the Bible, we see, particularly through the historical books, that God always had his prophet. God always had someone who would stand for him and come in the midst of all that was going around and say, hey, that's not right. Or, hey, this is how it should be. And for this time, that man is Elijah. God had brought Elijah on the scene. He had Elijah come and pronounce, because of their wickedness, there would be a 3.5-year famine in the land. And there was no rain, and things did not go well for them. And there was a little bit of some issues in the country. And so as we get to the end of that 3.5 years, God is going to bring the rain so they can get back to their crops would grow, and they can kind of get out of that what was going on. And so Elijah goes, and God has him go and find Ahab. Ahab will be the answer to bring the needed rain, but wicked King Ahab places the blame on him. In 1 Kings chapter 18 there, if you look at verse 17, when he met him, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? It's amazing how those who are anti-God want to blame all the problems on God or God's people. That's how it always is. I like Elijah. He did not back down. In verse 19, he said in verse 18, he goes, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, Omri, who was his father, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Elijah stands up and says, I'm not the problem. You're the problem. Your family was the problem. You're not listening to God, and you're following Balaam. And that's going to be the point in the story here. And so he's going to prove a point to him. He goes, go get the prophets of Baal. Bring them to Mount Carmel. We're going to have a little contest. We're going to find out whose God is real. You see, Baal worship was one of the problems in their land, not the solution. Sometimes we say, you know, worship is good. As long as you just worship your God in your way, it'll all be good. That's not what God thinks. Because sometimes wrong worship brings wrong results. That was the problem here. Baal worship was very bad. It was not just, well, that's just your God and you have your God. Baal worship was a very pagan worship system. And it evolved many traits that were very offensive to our God. Baal was considered a fertility god, a god who provided children. Baal worship involved many sensual and immoral practices, including ritualistic prostitution in their temples. It also had elements of child sacrifice. In some of their worship, they would heat the statue of Baal, and his arms would be out like this. They would heat the arms until they were red hot, and they would take a child and they would sacrifice it by putting it on those red hot arms, and the child would literally fry to death. And why that was going on, there was a bunch of immoral garbage going on. So when you read sometimes the Bible, as you get to the end here and all the prophets of Baal are wiped out by Elijah, you say, that's pretty harsh. Why would God do that? Because that's the kind of garbage that was going on. They were sacrificing children on the altar of an immoral religion. God wasn't having it. And so Elijah says, we're having a contest. Get everybody up there. And so here's the contest. We're going to have an altar. We're going to put an animal sacrifice on the altar. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And whoever God sends fire from heaven to the altar to burn the sacrifice, that'll be the true God. 450 prophets of Baal and Elijah over here. And if you know the story, the men, they go through their little practice, and they go first, by the way, and because Elijah knew it was coming, and they pray, and they do all their little things, and they do it for many hours, and God doesn't answer by fire, and Elijah says, you've had enough time, it's my turn. And Elijah says, you know, this is too easy for God, let's make it a little bit harder, let's fill all the trenches of the altar, and let's fill everything with water, and let's just soak it down, barrel after barrel of water, so we can really show you whose God is real. And Elijah simply prays. He did not have to cut himself like the prophets of Baal did to try to get their God's attention. Elijah just simply prays and asks God to show himself real, and God answers by fire. By the way, there is only one God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Elijah was kind of letting them know that this is the true God, the God that answers by fire. We need that God in our lives today. By the way, we live in a society that doesn't necessarily worship Baal, but we have our own form of Baal worship. It's called immorality. And by the way, immorality now, which is deviant in its behavior. It, by the way, whenever you give in to sensuality, it always gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Look, we can't even tell what gender we are anymore. By the way, science has already figured that out. God said, I made them too. I made them, male and female. You don't make yourself something. First it was now men loving men and women loving women, and we're letting them get married. And the next thing that happened is now the gender confusion. And mark my word, now they're going to come for children. They're already trying to lower the age of consent. Do you know in some states it's 16 years old? If you know this, there was a pastor about 7 years ago that you would know, and he got caught having an affair, I believe, with a 16-year-old. Do you know, Brother Bichardo, if he would have done that in his own state, he would not have went to jail. Because its age of consent is very low there. I think in Canada, it's 14 or 12. Do you understand? This is what's going on. And you know what our society needs? It doesn't need Christians who lower what they believe. It needs Christians that say, you know what? We serve a God that answers by fire. It's a God that can act in the times in which we live. Times are dark, but let me just say this. When times are darkest, God shines the brightest. Amen. We serve a great God. I want you to notice in this story three aspects in this story about the God that answers by fire. What does the fire answer? What does the fire do? First of all, as I mentioned, the fire answers. The fire of God that fell that day on the sacrifice in response to Elijah's prayers answered some of the situations that were present. In other words, Elijah wanted God to answer by fire because there were some things that needed to be shown in their society. It answered in the midst of all the doubters. In verse 21, Elijah said unto them, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" And by the way, he asked them a question. They didn't answer. They didn't want to answer. They didn't want to answer because, you know, they didn't want to go against the crowd. By the way, as Christians, we're starting to do that now. We want to be quiet about what the Bible says. And you take it to the extreme where you want to be quiet about what the Bible says about salvation. There are some things that people that that are churches, but they don't believe salvation properly. Jesus said there's only one way. But we don't want to go against the grain, so we just, the crowd says it, and we don't want to go against the crowd even if we believe it. I say we should believe what we believe. People blindly follow a crowd. Remember, when we were moving from Florida here, we were bringing our stuff, and my wife and I, we had two cars, and so we were driving our stuff across country, and we were going through New Mexico, and we're driving on the freeway in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, and these cars all just started pulling over to the side of the road. And so I think I was in front. I'm like, okay, I guess there's something going on. We're supposed to pull over. And so I pulled over, and my wife pulled over, and the cars behind her pulled over. There's like 20, 30 cars pulled over the side of the road. We get out of the car, and we're like, what's going on here? Why do we have to all pull over? Well, you know what it was? The guy in the first car saw a hot air balloon. He wanted to see it. So he pulled over. And the next car's like, he's pulling over. I'll pull over. Next thing you know, it's like, what are we doing here? It's like, I don't know. We're just, blah. Okay? Isn't that how we are? In the midst of doubters, we don't want to stand against a crowd. We just want to follow everybody. We don't want to be singled out, do we? Oh, you're one of those Christians. You know what? Yes, I'll put my hand up to that. We don't follow the crowd. Maybe they were convinced because there was a crowd. You know that happens sometimes. We doubt because it's like, but if so many people seem to believe this, maybe it's true. Do you know the majority is most often wrong? So our God answers in the midst of all the doubt. He answers in the midst of all the discrepancy. Elijah, then said Elijah in verse 22 unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now, that was true and false. Elijah was the only one right there standing. Now, God had a few other prophets around, but right there at that time, it was him against 450 people. But you know what he said? It doesn't matter. Because someone has said one time, God and you make a majority. I don't care who else is on my side. I want people to be on my side, but I don't really care who's on my side as much as I want to make sure that God's on my side. Okay, if God's on my side, it's going to be okay. But if everybody's on my side, but God's not on my side, that's a losing proposition. There was a big discrepancy in how many people. And by the way, those not with God aren't for him, even if they're not against him. You know, the crowd was real quiet. But because they didn't come out for God, they didn't come out against God, but they didn't come out for him, so they are against him. There's no middle ground here with God. But there was a huge discrepancy. There was a lot of destruction that God answered. Verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So Elijah, here's the 450 prophets. They're out there most of the day, and they're cutting themselves, and they're doing all kinds of stuff. By the way, I like Elijah. He was making fun of them. He's like, hey, maybe your God can't hear you. You got to yell a little louder. Hey, maybe your God's on vacation. He'll be back in a while. And Elijah finally, he's had enough and says, you know what? Stop watching those knuckleheads. Come over here. And he had to repair the altar because the altar was messed up. By the way, that always happened with the bad kings. The bad kings would always go to the place of worship and mess it up. There are several times you read where they desecrated the temple, the place where God was supposed to meet with them. By the way, we see that today, don't we? How many churches are nothing more than social clubs, and they're trying to get a crowd, and there's no substance whatsoever? But there was destruction. There was derision. We saw that how Ahab was against Elijah and blamed him for everybody. Isn't it amazing? It blamed him for everything. Isn't it amazing? Our society says, let's be tolerant except of Christianity. Let's be except for Christianity. You can believe anything you want to believe, and you have free speech unless you stand up as a Christian and express your belief, then all of a sudden you're a phobe. You know, whatever you want to name it. Truth is not phobic. And by the way, standing up and saying, here's what I believe, doesn't mean you hate someone who disagrees with you. And it doesn't mean you're fearful of someone who disagrees with you. It means that you believe what God says, despite what other people say. So, and then in the midst of difficulties, I like the way that he takes this situation. I mean, it's a pretty, big situation anyhow. Here he is by himself, 450, all the people watching. They've not made a decision. They're not on his side. The king is there. The king is not on his side, is blaming him for all the problems. And he's got to call down fire from heaven. And he says, that's too easy. Let's make it even more difficult. Let's just douse this with water. So we see that God answers, even though there's all these things going against. Hey, by the way, just because things don't seem to be going your way doesn't mean God's bailed out on you. Don't judge God by the circumstances of your life. Don't do that. But could it be that God uses those circumstances to teach you something or bring you to somewhere he wants you to be? How many of you, maybe you've been through a difficulty or something in your life, and after you've got through it, you can look back after the fact and say, you know, that was actually good for me. I actually got closer to God. I actually got closer to my family. This made me a stronger person. The God that answers by fire answers in spite of all of the nonsense. So the fire answers. And then I want you to notice, secondly, the fire's accomplishments. The fire that God sends in response to his people accomplished much. What did it show? Well, first, it showed that the sacrifices were examined. Look at verse 18. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up all the water that was in the trench. Now, by the way, remember, there were two sacrifices offered, but God only responded to one. Only one was right. Well, but the prophets of Baal, I mean, yeah, maybe they were misguided, but they were sincere, and they brought what they thought God would want. God's, I don't respect that. Remember Cain and Abel? They both brought a sacrifice. God only accepted one. Yeah, but they gave to God what they wanted to give. The only sacrifice God accepts is the one that he asks for. It's not up to us to do what we want and say, Lord, I'm going to do this, and I want you to put your stamp of approval on it because this is what I decided to do for you. God says, I don't accept that. What are you bringing to God? Sometimes we want to live for God, but yet we want to decide how we live for God. Well, I'll live for God, but this area, that area, this area, this area, that area, he doesn't get that area. God says, that's not how it works. God says, thou shalt love the Lord with all. It's all. It's all, yeah. God wants everything. He doesn't want you to say, you know what, Lord, I love you. You can have this, but the rest of it you can't have. That doesn't work. So the fire examined the sacrifice and said, that's the one I want right there. Here's a man in the midst of the, he trusts me. His sacrifice is legitimate. He believes I can do something, and he is all in. I'll answer that. That's what God wants. We have a Burger King Christianity. Remember the old Burger King? Have it your way. Okay, right? Years ago, we were in Seattle, and I heard about this hamburger place that was an old hamburger place in Seattle that was famous. I think it was Dick's Drive-In. So I'm like, we drove by. We got to try this. I walked over there, and I said, hey, I don't like onions. I'm like, hey, and the guy goes, we don't do anything special on hamburgers. It is what it is. You take it the way it is. I'm like, are you serious? but I don't like that. Tough. I'm like, okay, great. Like my grandmother, that's just how she threw food on the plate. I don't like eggplant. You get two. Okay, that's how grandma fixed things. That's not how Christianity works. It's not you do it your way. God's fire answer says, I accept what I asked for. And then the idols were exposed. Verse 36, let it be known this day that thou art God. You know why God wants to do something in your life? He wants you and I to be a living testimony that there is a real God. See, people can argue with a lot of things, but when they see someone that genuinely loves God and God is doing things in their life, that scratches their head. They're like, I can't answer that. Reminds me of the I think it was Ingersoll, the old atheist, and he wanted to debate D.L. Moody about God, and D.L. Moody didn't have time for it, and he kept bothering him. But finally, D.L. Moody responded and said, I'll tell you what, I'll debate you if you do me one thing. Bring me a drunk. Bring me a derelict. Bring me someone whose life was a mess, and you taught them about atheism, and it changed their life. You know, Ingersoll quit bothering him. Doesn't work. But we can point to people whose lives were radically altered that would say, you know what? God did that. Because our God answers by fire. I see also that the people are energized. Look at verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Now go back to verse 21 when he said, hey, are you guys going to make a decision here? The people were like, cricket, cricket. They didn't say a word. Now all of a sudden they're throwing themselves on the ground saying, he is the Lord. See, when God works, it encourages other people. When God works in our midst, it's energizing. You know, when you just stay faithful to God and you do the things you're supposed to do and you ask God to do something, you try to live for him and God does something in your life and God is giving you joy, something you didn't have before. Man, there's something energizing about that. You say, man, I'm struggling with that. I'm a Christian, but I'm not seeing God work. Are you doing things to keep the fire from falling? Go back to the sacrifice. We don't just bring what we want. But man, I'll tell you, when we know God, look, thanks. I get irritated with some of the things going on in our society. I really do. But you know what? I'm not down or discouraged about it because I serve the real God. I'm on the winning side. And you know what I want? I want to help other people get on the winning side. I want other people, because I know how it is. If you're living a life apart from God, that is not the, I'm not Joel Osteen here, that's not your best life. The best life is to follow Jesus Christ. The best life is, follow him and be 100% in. That's energizing. We don't like this one. What else did the fire accomplish? The enemies are exterminated. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let none of them escape. Sorry. See, that's mean. They were evil. The things that these leaders did deserved corporal punishment, capital punishment. By the way, just like those who are killing unborn babies. I just throw that in there because this is church. That is a Bible. This is a pulpit. It doesn't amaze me now that they don't want to save babies that are from botched abortions that are born alive. They'll just let them die. That's murder. And by the way, it's murder if they do it before they're born. Just so, and I'm not condemning you if you've had an abortion and maybe you didn't know any better. I'm just saying we better stand up and say that is murder, and when a society doesn't take care of those who are weakest, there is something seriously wrong with that society. Hey, I got an idea, and I'm not trying to quit voting for those knuckleheads. You might want to watch and see what they believe. That's not very popular, is it? I'm not going to vote for someone that's killing a baby. And to sit there as they did about a year ago in New York, and they all clapped when they passed the bill that a born baby could be killed. That's reprehensible to God. You know what that is? That's the prophets of Baal. The ones who sacrificed the baby on the hot arm. You said, I thought we were going to have a Bible. This is Bible. Oh, no, it's not a baby before it's born. That's hypocritical. Bible says that when someone's pregnant, they're with child. You ask. So I'll go ahead and tell you. That one guy, Pete, whatever his name is, that idiot from Indiana, he was in a town hall meeting, and a guy asked him right there. This 17, 18-year-old or a young college kid said, so, One day before I was physically born, I wasn't a person. I wasn't important. And Mr. Pete, who's confused about what gender he is, sat there and basically said, "That's the mom's choice." Idiot. I'm sorry, let me backtrack. Evil idiot. So you shouldn't say that about people. If you're willing to murder a baby, you're an evil idiot. Yeah. Amen. Say, man, I'm not for killing babies. Our society is so far down the drain, but you know what? Now let's get back to positivity, shall we? Let me step back. We serve a great God. Yeah. That's why do you understand? That's why we need God. Yeah. The reason people are starting to buy into these things, because they don't know God. But if they would just know him and know how powerful he is, he might change their mind about some of these things. I'm glad I serve a God that loves everybody, but I'm also glad I serve a God that's not for evil. He can change things. And then lastly, the Lord is exalted. Verse 37, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. You know what it was all about? Like, Baal's not God. By the way, the pagan religions did nothing to help people's lives. Right. Nothing. They went and did their worship. And then after they went home, they did whatever they wanted. God, their pagan God had nothing to do with them. It was just go put your time in, be immoral, and then go do what you want. That was kind of attractive. But you know what God says? You don't just come see me at church. I'm with you at home. I'm with you everywhere. I want to be a part of your life from the minute you wake up until the minute you fall asleep and then while you're sleeping. That's what God wants. Because he's real. Yeah. Now, let me say this and I'm done. Point three. I want you to see the fire's acceptance. What does that just mean? You have to make a decision. Elijah said it early. How long halt you between the two opinions? And they're like, And then he says, okay, we'll have a little contest and we'll fix this. And then at the end of the contest, they're like, he's God. Do you know, we need to make a decision whose side we're on. And if I have to choose, I'm going to be on the side of the real God. The God that answers by fire. The God that can make, the God that doesn't just want me to show up to church on Sunday. I wear my sweater, I do whatever, I go home and he's totally not even a part of my life. He's a God that when I go home, he's there. He's a God that when I have a problem, he's there. He's a God when I see what's going on around me and I need answers, I look to his word and he's there. Isn't that what you want? Do you want to just, I don't want to just appease God like they appease God. I want a God that's like, anytime I need him, he's right there. I can pray and he will answer my prayer. Let's all stand together this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a minute.